The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. Today, we're going to be talking about healthy sleeping and sleep medicine with our special guest, and she is Dr. Barbara Chhatra-Aryamantri, and she is a pulmonary disease specialist, a critical care medicine specialist, an internal medicine specialist, and a sleep medicine specialist. Very apropos for our discussion. And we're really delighted, Doctor, we're very delighted to have you here today.
Nice to meet you. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. So, Doctor, would you begin with perhaps giving our listeners just an overview of how sleep relates to health and wellness in terms of the optimum number of hours of sleep that adults should get to maintain good health and wellness?
Yes, absolutely. I would like to elaborate a little bit on the myth of the 8 hours. And so we are all born with a genetically encoded amount of time that we need to sleep. And there's a lot of variety. And people have needs of as little as 4 hours, and some people have needs as long as 10 hours. But there's a distribution of these. And so ultimately, when we say that somebody needs 8 hours, is because it's in the middle of the distribution. So the majority of people will need sleep between 7 and 8 hours. And that's why we pick the magic number 8. But it's not true for everybody. And so it's very interesting. I have some patients that I've met in my life where they were sleeping 6 hours and the whole family was ganged up on them saying, hey, you're not sleeping enough. You're not sleeping enough. You're not sleeping enough. But the truth was that they were what's called natural short sleepers. They sleep between 3 and 6 hours and they're good as new the following morning. Okay. And then there are people that sleep 9, 10 hours and that's normal too. That's what they need. Again, those are the extremes. And then the majority of the population needs 7 to 8 hours. One way to know what kind of person you are is to notice how many hours you sleep when you go on vacation. Taking for granted that you're not using, alcohol or other substances, of course. But you go on vacation and you sleep in 6 hours and you're happy, and then you're the annoying person that at 7 o'clock in the morning she's trying to get everybody to get up and get busy.
I want to be in the same room with, sharing a room with.
Or are you the one that likes to quote unquote sleep in and is driving everybody crazy now because is always the last one of the group to be ready? And so there's a variation. For instance, I like to think of myself as a 9 hour type of person, 9, 9.5 in an ideal world, which of course does not exist. If I go on vacation, I like to fall asleep around 11, 11:30 and be up around 8, 8:30, up at 9, depending. Uh-huh. And I'm very happy.
And does that change over time as one becomes older? I noticed with myself when I was in my 20s and 30s and even into my 40s, that I would exist on 6 hours of sleep happily. Now that I'm a bit older, I really find that I need at least a minimum of eight hours really to be at my best, in a work environment.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. Actually, most of the people, like the late, you know, the belief is that as you get older, you need less sleep, right? But it is not true because sleep is a body function, right? And like anything, it will deteriorate over time. Eyesight, hearing, right? Same thing happens with sleep. So one thing that changes is the ability to consolidate sleep, okay? And so the people that sleep less as they age, often the issue is that now they're not able to consolidate sleep. They will wake up, you know, a little early in the morning once they're awake. Now they cannot go back to sleep. And so now it looks like they need less sleep, even if they're not happy to sleep less. But again, we're not able to consolidate the sleep. In your case, it looks like that maybe you're not being able to consolidate sleep in the same way that you were when you were 20. It will require that to get the same sleep, you have to sleep more hours. So your sleep efficiency is less.
Yes.
To get to that amount of sleep that you really need, you need to kind of dilute it over time.
Very, very interesting. And so what are the can you highlight some of the negative health impacts of a sleep deficit of too few hours?
Sure. Okay. Well, first of all, it impacts memory. We know that memory consolidation happens during sleep. So memory, learning, and then we know that it will affect, blood pressure, gastric motility. In children, it stunts growth. If children don't sleep enough, they will not grow appropriately. So that's an issue because there are some hormones that are secreted only during sleep. So for instance, growth hormone, which is the hormone related to growth, is secreted while we're sleeping. Mood changes, irritability, altered judgment, basically loss of sleep impacts every area of our living.
What can people do, aside from, being really more conscious and disciplined in terms of sleep hygiene, but what can they do, like, say, in their lifestyle choices or in their environment, even in their bedroom where they sleep, to help ensure a better night's sleep? What are some of those things?
Well, the general recommendations about the environment is like dark room, nice shades, cooler temperature. These are things that are conducive.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, because I've caught myself also falling to it. And
don't doom scroll before going to bed.
I read this definition, procrastination revenge. You feel that during the day you haven't done anything that was really satisfying. And therefore, now you try to
jam it all in.
Right.
Right.
Very interesting.
So, Doctor, just in the few minutes that we have in this segment, talk to us a little bit about how time changes can impact our internal body clock and our sleeping habits, such as our recent switch to daylight savings time.
Especially when we do, it's called spring forward, right? We are doing what is called phase advancing. So basically, we go to sleep earlier and we wake up earlier. This is more difficult than what we do in the fall, that we move the other direction. Inner clock is pretty set, and it's not so easy to move back and forth, especially for certain people. It takes about 2-3 days per hour of moving in whichever direction of time to recoup. So if you're not able to get on the schedule right away, it will continue to affect your daytime performance.
Well, doctor, this is a fascinating topic, really, and one that I think we all can relate to as human beings, because half of our lives, perhaps, or a good portion of our lives are spent sleeping, and how critical good sleep is to our health. We want to learn more about this, including some of your work in sleep medicine. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
To every referee, umpire, and judge in high school sports, we want to say, we see you.
We see everything you do for us that goes unnoticed.
We see the positive role models that you are.
We see the way you get unfairly criticized just for doing your job.
The truth is, we couldn't play without you.
So, thank you for investing your time in us.
Thank you for protecting the integrity of the game, no matter what.
We hope you always know how much we appreciate you.
Because without you, this is just recess. It's not really a game.
Thank you for always making it possible for us to play the sports we love.
Want to serve the students in your community? Sign up to become an official in New York at highschoolofficials.com.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today, we're discussing sleep and healthy sleeping, rather, and sleep medicine with our guest, Dr. Barbara Chhatra Arya Mantri. And, doctor, before the break, we were talking about the optimum number of hours of sleep for good health and wellness, and also, what can be done to ensure a better night's sleep, some of the impacts, and then also how time changes, such as transferring to daylight savings time that happened recently, affect sleep patterns. Let's move on now to your work in sleep medicine. Can you tell us what exactly the specialty of sleep medicine is? Can you give us a highlight on that?
Okay, so what I take care of is anything that happens in the night from a physiologic point of view.
Does that mean vampires too? only kidding.
That's a cute one. Yeah. Well, it can range from the snoring, the problems breathing at night. So snoring and obstructive sleep apnea, for instance, there are just one the manifestations that you can have at night of impaired breathing. Then there's acting during the night, right? So I have people with sleepwalking, night terrors, people that act out their dreams. And then there's people that, sleep too much or too little. So people that have insomnia, difficulties either falling asleep or maintaining the sleep, or people that despite sleeping, they're still tired during the day, not because they haven't slept enough, but because they might suffer from what we call narcolepsy or idiopathic hypersomnia, which are all very fancy names.
Is there a psychological dimension to any of these in addition to the physiological aspects?
Some of them, yes. Sleep is, I call it, the back door of psychiatry. Sometimes people that have sleep disorders, especially either insomnia or, you know, excessive sleep, might suffer from anxiety, depression, and that's the first manifestation of their disease. Even people with schizophrenia sometimes, or, you know, bipolar depression with mania, the first thing that you see is the sleep going away. And actually having problems with sleep, it's not unusual that precedes the full presentation of the psychiatric syndrome.
Statistically, or maybe on average, can you talk about some of the more prevalent sleep disorders that come to your attention from your patients?
Yeah, the most frequent one is obstructive sleep apnea. So there's like snoring and you stop breathing in the middle of the night because your airway is closing up. And that it can be mild, moderate, severe. And we try to treat that because there's an impact on cardiovascular health. So high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, fast irregular heartbeat, congestive heart failure, they can all be, you know, brought on or exacerbated by an inability to sleep properly at night, to breathe. I should say breathe properly.
What are some of the treatment modalities that are proven to be, you know, effective in these areas?
Okay, the gold standard therapy is CPAP. CPAP stands for continuous positive airway pressure, and in lay terms, it's known as the mask. Mm-hmm. And so what it really is a machine that pressurizes room air, compresses room air, and delivers pressurized air to your airway, which is closing up. So it's just like blowing into a balloon and stenting it open. And then we apply the mask because the mask is the seal between the two systems, the machine delivering the pressurized air and your airway that is closing up. That's a CPAP. For some patients that have milder obstructive sleep apnea, you could use a dental appliance, which is kind of a glorified mouth retainer that moves the lower jaw forward and pins the airway open. And then one relatively new device is a genioglossal stimulator. So there's an electrical stimulator that can be implanted in the chest and that stimulates the muscle that is at the front of our throat, if you will, called genioglossus. And when we stimulate this muscle, the tongue will get out of the way and open up the airway. This is called INSPIRE. It's an INSPIRE stimulator.
And do these treatments last a lifetime, or are they for a certain duration of time and then it the disorder, you know, improves? How does that work?
Actually, the disorder historically gets worse over time unless something changes. Let's say that, you know, maybe you're obese and you lose some weight, then the obstructive sleep apnea could get better or it could disappear. But not every patient with obstructive sleep apnea is obese. Things like that can alter the course. Sometimes they get worse because, like, now you have also maybe superimposed heart disease already, and then it gets even more complex. In that case, we call it complex sleep disorder breathing.
And so just out of curiosity, does indoor air pollution have anything to do with it in terms of, does it make any difference to have some kind of air filtration system in your bedroom or whatever?
Not for this one, not uh-huh. for this, but of course, if you have other diseases that can be prominent at night, for instance, asthma is more prominent at night. People mm-hmm. that have severe asthma, they have nocturnal symptoms. And if it's on an allergic basis, definitely, you know, keeping the environment clean will help the breathing. So, yeah, these are other presentation of diseases that can have nighttime and daytime symptoms.
So, doctor, in the notes, it refers to a sleep lab. What is a sleep lab, and what is there one at Health Alliance, and are you part of that?
Yeah, there is a sleep lab at Health Alliance, and we perform at-home sleep studies and sleep studies inside the sleep lab. So basically, it's a physiologic monitoring. We put like a bunch of electrodes and sensors, and we monitor physiologic activity. When you are in lab, it's fairly thorough. So we monitor brain waves, eye movement, chin tone, muscle tone, respiration, respiratory effort, oxygen, and movement. So it's fairly comprehensive.
Mm-hmm. And so, doctor, before we run out of time, where can our listeners go to get in touch with you or for more information or questions or resources on anything that we discussed today?
There's some stuff on Dr. Google, but you have to be careful on, which sites you trust. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine also has a website and some patient information. And then if you want more of a one-on-one consultation, I can be booked through the APS system, the Advanced Physician Service of Westchester Medical Center.
Right. And there is a number here for the health physicians pulmonary. Is that you too? That's 845-338-1535. Is that your contact info number as well? Or they can probably get to you through that somehow, right?
Yes.
Well, doctor, thank you so much for the work that you and your colleagues do. It's really nice to have you and the resources that you bring to the table for our community. So thank you.
Very welcome. Thank you.
And you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye. All good.
Okay.
That was good. Were you happy with that? I think we covered a lot.
Oh, yeah, we covered a lot. Again, I tend to get a little nervous, but I think,
Yeah, I mean, it's not live, so it's fine. I think
that's good information. And if you need to, go over any of this stuff, just let me know.
Yeah, I think it's I think we're good. I think we gave people a pretty good overview. We don't get too deep into the weeds, because then we'd start losing people. So we want to keep it like just general.
Keep it light, keep it engaging. I think it was engaging and informative. It's interesting because I just gave a talk to the neurology residents at Westchester because they needed some formal sleep talk. And so some of the questions were similar, some of the topics.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Thanks again. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, what question?
Yes.
Can you tell me when it's going to be put on air?
If you just search Healthy Ulster Radio, you'll see the list of stations at the top and the times. But I will also send you and Lynn Nichols, and we put once the show is fully produced, we archive it on Healthy Ulster Radio also. It goes, you just scroll down to the bottom. They're in chronological order. And we'll have that up within, a week or so, something like that.
I don't usually ask for it. I've never asked for it, but you're a very nice host.
Thank you so much. All right. Thanks again. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.